Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, everyone. This is Pastor Jamon Johnson with Life Without Limits. I, as always, am so excited to be with you all on tonight. Just want to thank those responsible again. Thank Pastor Toy as well as Brother Robert for all of their hard work in making sure that this is not only a success, but creating this platform for people like me to be able to come on and share the love of Jesus. But I, again, want to take time, as always, to thank all of you who, you know, maybe you're at work, maybe you're sitting at home, but thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen. Remember to find Purpose Kingdom Network on Facebook and follow and like. There you will also see information about upcoming shows. Don't forget to tune in. Number that you can call if you have any questions or would like to listen in and are not able to, or you would like to share it with someone, 323-870-4174. Again, 323-870-4174. All right, so tonight we're going to continue to look at, remember the topic is Life Without Limits. That's the name of this segment that I am responsible for doing. And I want to call your attention to a Bible verse in Luke 15, Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. And right where you are, we're just going to have a quick word of prayer. Thank you so much just for everything that you have done. We thank you for being amazing to us. We thank you that God, through a pandemic and through the pandemic of racism and all that we are enduring in this nation at this moment, I thank you, God, for simply being good to us and for allowing us to still be alive. And so right now, God, as we open up your word, I'm praying that you will remove any distractions and that you will allow this word to spread. And we thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Luke 15. And it says this, starting with verse 11. Jesus told then yet another story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me a share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. In verse 13, now, not long after that, the youngest son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything and had a bad famine spread through that whole land. Soon he had nothing to eat. And the Bible says he went for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of the pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, in verse 17, he came to his senses and said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. And I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers. Mercy.'" And in verse 20, the younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to him and kissed him and hugged him. And the son said, "Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son." But in verse 42, but his father said to the servants, "Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calves and prepare it so we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but now has come back to life. He was lost and has now been found." And they began to celebrate. And the Bible says the older son had been out in the field, but when he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants over and asked, what's going on here? The servant answered, your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf. The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in, but he said to his father, for years I have worked for you like a slave, and you have always obeyed you, but you have never even given me a little goat so that I could have dinner for my friend. This other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he has come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for him, for the feast. His father replied, my son, you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost and has now been found. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up as a kid, I couldn't wait until I got older. I remember running around the house saying it to myself or saying it to my friends. I can't wait to grow up. I can't wait to, grow up and get my own house. I can't wait so I could do whatever I want to do when I want to, and nobody could tell me, exactly what I can't do. And if you're like me, many of you have been through the same things. You have said the same things to yourself. Maybe your parents chastised you, or let's be honest, because I got whoopings. Maybe you got a whooping for something and you said to yourself, you mumbled it under your breath, that I can't wait till I get older. And maybe if you had a mother like mine or a grandmother like mine, that when they heard you say that, and you don't know how they heard you whisper that under your voice, but they magically heard it out of nowhere, tell you, boy, you bet not rush it. You better wait until that time come and enjoy every moment that you have being in this house. And as a kid, the realization of what they were saying, it didn't really click to me. I fully didn't understand what my grandmother and mother was trying to say to me, that boy, essentially what they were saying to me was, boy, you bet not rush something, because if you rush it, you're going to find yourself at an age where you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to depend on yourself. Mom and grandma can't pay bills anymore. They're not going to be able to take care of you, and you're going to have to fend for yourself. But for some of us, we're so hard-headed, and some of us are so excited, or we can't wait, anticipating to get on our own and to be our own. Well, the prodigal son is faced with the same issue. He is tired of being in the father's house. He's tired of living under his roof and by his rules. He's tired of doing what the father is telling him or asking him to do. He's simply grown tired of being in the house where he is, and the prodigal son is determined to get out by any cost. But the Bible says that he makes a mistake, and the great mistake that he makes is that not only does he ask for his inheritance, but he asks it with his father still being alive. Now, this is a problem, because biblically you're not supposed to ask for your inheritance, or in essence you're not entitled to it until after your father has died, and even still, he was not the older boy, so he should not be asking about an inheritance that's not rightfully his yet. But instead of thinking about what the damage is doing to his father by asking him for the inheritance, all that's on his son's mind is getting out of the house and being his own man, being able to do what he wants to do, when he wants to, how he wants to, nobody telling him what to do, nobody looking on the shoulder. And the first mistake that he makes is that he decides to ask for something that wasn't his at that moment. Oh, y'all got to hear me. Because sometimes in life, what we do is we rush what God has for us, or we rush things in life, and we find ourselves in positions, and we wonder why we ended up in messed up relationships. We wonder why we end up in the situations that we are in life, because you're rushing, asking to get into something that's not rightfully yours yet. But if you have some patience and wait, the Father will give it to you in just time. And the Bible says that he goes to his father, and I imagine his father is confused and his father is hurt. Why are you asking this from me? Why are you even insulting me by asking me for your inheritance that is not yours? You haven't worked for it. I'm not dead yet. Who do you think you are? But the Bible says that the father obliges to what the son's request is, and he gives him a part of his inheritance. And the Bible says that when he gives him his inheritance, the son leaves and goes to a foreign land. And the Bible says that when he gets there, the boy doesn't even know how to even control his spending. He was so interested in being outside of the father's presence that he wasn't learning from the father and how to handle money. He wasn't learning from his father how there might be people around you who you think are for you, but they're just using you for what you got. They know that you have this inheritance. And the Bible says that he's away from the father. He's away from the control of his father. And he's spending his money like crazy. He's buying drinks for everybody. He's buying this and he's buying that. Imagine being in the club today and watching somebody come in and buying bottles for everybody. He's buying the alcohol. He's doing the best that he can. He's paying for the most expensive woman that he can find to sleep with. And he's having a good time. Every night is a party at his house. But the issue is that he discovers the second point that I want to make, is that the Bible says that while he was out enjoying himself and while he was doing what he wanted to do, reality set in. See, some of you want to do it your way, and you think you're better off without being in the Father's presence. But let me tell you something. Reality is about to set in. You can keep doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, but reality is going to set in eventually. And what the prodigal son learns, what the son learns here is a valuable lesson that you and I need to learn, is that not only should you not be asking for something that you're not prepared for, but the second thing, while he was partying and wasting his money away, he realized that reality is setting in, that he had some responsibilities, you know, and stuff that he had to care for, that there was things, you know, no longer could he depend on his father to do it, no longer, you know, could he depend on his brothers or anybody else. He had to work his own way out. He had to figure it out on his own. And so now that he has hit rock bottom, the money has ran out. The people who he thought was in his circle and the people that he thought that loved him have walked away because the money is gone. He's no longer that popular kid in the club anymore. He's no longer that guy anymore. He has wasted his money on everything from alcohol to entertainment, even down to spending money on sex. And because he has lost everything, he has no one there to help pick him back up because he chose to leave the Father's presence. Listen to me now, is that the biggest mistake that you can make is to decide to leave from being in the presence of the Father. See, some of you think and believe that you're better off on your own, that you know what's best for your life. But trust me, you're safer and you're better in the presence of the Father. You see, because in the presence of the Father, he's able to pick you up when you fall. You see, in the presence of the Father, you don't ever have to worry about some of these things that the prodigal son had to worry about, because in the presence of the Father, he takes care of you. He will lead you. He will guide you. But he allowed the son to leave his presence to learn the valuable lesson of what it means to be grateful and thankful for the fact that your father is still alive. What I'm saying to you and I who are listening today, that many of us have strayed away from the Father's presence. But let me tell you something. The enemy and the world has nothing to offer you like being and living in the presence of the Father. So some of you have thought that you can just do what you wanted to do. If this
If I just do it this one time, I will be okay. But let me tell you something. You're better and you're safer in the presence of your father. And the Bible says that the prodigal son, he begins to, after the money has wore out, after everything has gone bad in his life, the Bible says that now he finds himself in need of a job. And the Bible says that he finds himself somebody that's willing to hire him. Now watch this. In the father's house, he was somebody. You see, with the father, he was with the father who had money. With the father, he had respect. In the father, he had no cares and no worries in the world. But the moment that he left from being in the father's presence was the moment that he realized that his life being with the father was better than the life that he had now. You see, all of those days of complaining about not wanting to be under the father's roof, all of those days spent complaining about how he just wanted to be his own man, he grown and he's just going to do what he wanted to want to do when he want to, he hit a place in his life where he realized that he has made a mistake. And the Bible says that he finds somebody that's willing to hire him. And the man hires him. And he says, look, I'm not going to hire you from a job that's going to give you dignity. I'm not going to hire you for anything glamorous. But what I'm hiring you for is to go out and work with my pigs, to tend to my pigs. And the Bible says that he would have been even grateful to even eat what the pigs eat. Hear me. This is how low the man has gotten in his life. In the father's presence, he was able to eat steak. But now he has nothing to eat. And the Bible says that he will rather eat. He will be grateful and happy just to eat the slop that the pigs are eating. How low can you be at this point? But only if he would have stayed in the presence of the father, he would not have been experiencing this. He wouldn't be at this place in his life. But again, the father allows it to happen because through it all, the father is teaching a lesson. And the Bible says that that he realizes he's made a mistake. How can I go from being this respectable young man, father that everybody knows and loves and respects, from how did I go from being with a father in the house of a father that had money and had everything? I had servants and people who worked for me, and now all of a sudden I'm tending to pigs and eating slop. The Bible says that he realizes that he made a mistake. But notice something that I want to point out, that the Bible doesn't say that he notices that he made a mistake. The Bible says that he has a conversation with himself, how he has sinned not only against the Father in heaven, but he has sinned against his Father. This is important because you and I as Christians need to understand what repentance is and means for us. That there will be moments where you might stray away. But just like the prodigal son, the father will allow it, because in your straying away, there's lessons that's taking place. There's growth that's happening there, and he's going to allow it to happen so that when you come back to him, you know that you don't want to leave again. You know that you're better and safer in the presence of the father than you are out in the world doing what you want to do. And the Bible says that he has this conversation with himself. And Pastor Toy, I know you're listening, but he literally, I have to call you out because I know you're here, but Pastor Toy, he has the conversation to himself. He's talking to himself of how he must make it right with his father. And he realizes that what led to him choosing or what led to him being in this position was his choice to sin. He allowed money and everything else to step step in front of him, and he has lost focus on everything. And the Bible says that he realizes, and he says to himself in the conversation, I have sinned against my Father in heaven, and I have sinned against my Father, and I got to make something right. And the Bible says that as he starts on his way to go see the Father, the Bible says that from a distance, listen now, the mere shadow of his Son, the Father saw him and began to run towards him and said, welcome home. But watch this. The Father not only welcomed his Son back, but the Son didn't even give the Father enough time to speak before he said, Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against my Father in heaven, and I'm sorry. In essence, what he's saying to them, saying to his Father, is, I know that I made a mistake. I know that I cursed you. I know that I do my own thing. But, Father, I'm sorry, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. But not only does he seek that from his Father, he also says that he sinned against the Father in heaven. So he recognizes that not only was there a sin against his Father, or he made a mistake with his Father, but he has also made one that he needs to get right with God. And he's saying to God that, look, God, I recognize that I made a mistake. I recognize that I've messed with prostitutes, and I've drunk alcohol, and I've partied my life away. But Father God, please forgive me right now at this moment. He's repenting, and he's making right what he has done. And the Bible says that the Father's next words to him, or the Father doesn't speak words to him, but his actions that followed him welcoming home his Son is some very important actions. Follow me now. The Bible says that when he sees his Son and he wraps his arms around his Son and he welcomes his Son back home, he puts on his Son's feet. Listen now. He puts the best sandals that he could find. He goes and he calls for a servant to find the best clothes that the servant can find, and he puts it on his Son. I want you to understand the symbolization here, because he recognized that his Son has journeyed to an unknown place, and his Son has made some mistakes, and his Son has done some stuff. His Son wasn't even worthy of what the Father was doing to him, but the Father put shoes on his feet. Y'all don't hear me. He put some shoes on his feet, and he put the shoes there because he's letting the Son know that it doesn't matter what you've been through. What matters most is that you're here now and you're back home. He puts the best clothes on his back. He washes the Son up, and he welcomes the Son back into the house. But watch this. He not only does all of that, but he tells the servant, go find the best calf that you can find, because we're going to have a feast and we're going to party tonight. He pours out the best of the best for his Son. And I want you to know that God does the same for us, that God is cheering us on. He's going to allow you to have your space to do what you need to do. But when you come back, trust me, we're about to have a party. We're going to celebrate the fact that somebody has come to Christ. And here's what happens. It gives us a glimpse of what happens in heaven, because the Bible says that in heaven, when somebody comes to Christ, when somebody gives their lives to Christ, the God and the angels are in heaven celebrating. They're having a holy party because you have come home to him. And the Bible says that the party has started. Everybody is in celebrating with the Son. But the other brother, he's out working. You see, he's been the good boy. He's done everything the Father has asked him to do, even stuff that the Father didn't ask him to do. He was always dependable. The Father always trusted in him. And the Bible says that the Son is hearing something from a distance, and he's like, wait, I've never heard my Father play music like this. Why? What's going on? And the Bible says that he asks as a servant what is going on, and the servant says to him, your brother has come home. Remember, he was lost, but he's home now. And so they're celebrating because the Father said that your brother was once dead, but now he has been found. And the Bible says that literally the Son, you know, as he's hearing, you know, like what's being told to him, he's hearing all of that. You know, he's hearing what the servants is saying to him, And it says that in that process, he responds to the servant. The servant says, "Will you come in?" And he tells the servant, "No." Father goes out and tries to find him and bring him in. And the father says, "Will you come in?" He tries to convince him. Your brother is back. You should be celebrating. You should be a part of the party. Your brother who was dead is now alive. He was lost, but now he is found. Come in and celebrate with us. And the son refused to celebrate. And in fact, he says to the father, "Why are you even celebrating that boy when he caused the hell that he caused in your life? But I've been here the whole time. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. And you have never treated me like you treated the son." And here we get a glimpse, because forgive me, but many of us know people like this even in our churches. These, you see, the older son, this is what I failed to mention to you. You see, this is a parable, so I want you to know what these things represent. The prodigal son represents those who stray away from God. They represent those who don't know him. The father in the story, obviously, is Jesus Christ himself. And the oldest boy is the scribes and Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees in biblical times, they were religious leaders, but they were people who thought that they had it all together. They had it all figured out. They were, you know, those Christian folks who, you know, lived their lives so holy. They had everything right. They had everything together. And the Bible says that, like, those Pharisees, they will always point out everybody else's issues. They were always pointing out, like, everybody else's problems and everybody else's, like, weaknesses and shortcomings, and they created, like, an atmosphere that wasn't, you know, acceptable. Like, nobody wanted to. The atmosphere that they created was this atmosphere that made people who wanted to follow Christ uncomfortable. And so here in the story, you see the son represents the Pharisees and the Sadducees, sorry. And so the son is not even concerned with the fact that that his brother has come back home and his brother has re-given his life back to the father and that the brother is safe. He's not concerned about any of that. All he's concerned about is the fact that the brother has messed up, so you shouldn't even be celebrating or doing what you're doing from him. But listen to what he also says. He says that I've been here doing everything that you asked me to do. I've worked. I've done everything that you asked me to do, but you never treated me like you treated him. And that's just what the Pharisees would do. They would make you feel bad, but God is saying that I'm celebrating because this person has come back. He was lost, but now he is found. And the son, the oldest boy, should have been celebrating instead of judging and looking down on his brother, instead of pointing out his brother's shortfalls. He should have been celebrating that the fact that his brother is now home. You asking the question today, like, what does this have to do with a living life without limits? And here's what I would say to you is, one, in order to live your life without limits, and we're not talking about just being free to do whatever you want to, but in order to live your life without limits, you have to first recognize that you belong to the Father. And for many of us, we need to understand that we're better and safer in the presence of the Father than we are anywhere else. The enemy wants you to believe and to think that the world has something to offer and that you're better out there. But I want you to know that you're safer and you're better in the presence of the Father. You're safer in his hands. You're better off living under the Father's roof, because under the Father's roof, there may be rules, but under the Father's roof is more freedom than you ever imagined. And the freedom that God allows you only lead to your and only lead to you being better. But when you go out into the world and you give the world your life, the world will do nothing but destroy you. And so to live life without limits. I think that is important to understand whose we are and who we belong to. But from this story, I think it's also important to understand that only the Father knows what's best for us. That you can't keep putting or deciding the plan for your life. You know, you can't keep, you know, thinking that's the word that I'm looking for, that you have control over everything. But recognize that if you allow the Father to lead, your life will be better than what you can ever imagine. And I don't know about you. I don't want to end up like the older son. Mad, bitter, grumpy. Everybody else's life is good and you complaining about how bad yours. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that. I want to celebrate when people give their lives to Christ. I want to be involved in the feast. Because even though I may not condone what they do, I still have to love them. And many of you got family members, you got friends who have turned their backs on Christ. They have messed you over as a family member. They have done things to hurt you. But will you choose to be like the father or will you be like the oldest boy? Living your life with this bitter and hatred in your life, or will you be like the father that says, son, it doesn't matter what you've done, I'm going to welcome you home anyway. And tonight, that's what I wanted to bring to you. I wanted to bring to you how the father is always standing there. He's cheering you on. He's celebrating. And there's somebody tonight that needs to give their lives to Christ. Tonight. Putting it off. You see how this world 2020 has started out crazy. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So tonight, right now, you need to give your life to Christ. Trust me when I say this, it will be the greatest thing, the best thing that you ever do. And so right now, at this moment, I don't know who wants to do it, but I'm going to bring Pastor Troy on. Pastor Troy, if there's any phone calls, please let me know. But if not, just share a few words before we have, you know, a closing prayer, a call of salvation. Troy, are you there? All right, if not, Brother Robert, I know you're on. You can come on if you want to share a few words before we have our call of salvation. I don't know if we're having technical difficulties or something, but I'm going to go ahead and just pray out. Father God, we just thank you so much just for everything.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you hear me now?
Great. Yes, I can hear you now.
Praise commercial.
God.
Can you hear me now? Praise the Lord. We were having technical difficulties getting the line open, but I bless God and I praise God that Jesus is still the Messiah. The devil is always going to be a liar, and God is still on the throne. Pastor Jermaine, can I tell you, I just love you and love the way God uses you. And one of my favorite sermons, one of my favorite stories from the Bible is the parable of the lost
son. Praise God.
And you know what I love about that parable? The verse where it says the father ran to him to meet him. People don't understand how important that part is, that the father ran to him. Because you have to remember, in Jewish tradition, in Jewish times, in those small towns, number one, everybody knew everybody's business. And if you could see how upset the son that stayed home was when the lost son came back home. Oh, you know he let some folk know, yeah, my daddy gave him all his money and he done went off somewhere and ain't nobody hurt. You know, everybody knew how disrespectful this young man was to ask for his inheritance before his father had died. And Jewish tradition and law says that when he came back into the town, upon sight. They were supposed to take pottery and clay and rocks and begin to bust it at the ground. They were supposed to ostracize him. They were supposed to kick him out of the camp. He was not to his daddy's house to be accepted in. And the part I liked was that for his father to see him afar off, that meant his father was looking for him. Somebody didn't catch
that. That's a word.
For his father to see him coming afar off, that meant that at some point every day, at some time, the father went looking for his lost son, even if it means he just went standing at the top of a hill where he could see in every direction to see if his child was coming. Now, the next thing you got to remember is that it was against Jewish traditions for people of wealth and money to be seen running. They did not run. That's what you had servants for. And the other thing you did not do was if you were of stature, you did not let your legs show. That was a sign of humiliation. But this man of power, this man of status, this man of esteem tied his cloak or robe up, the scripture says, so that he could run. That means he exposed his leg in shame and humiliation. And then he did that which man said at that time he was not supposed to do. He ran to his prodigal son. Somebody better get that. That is how Christ is standing right now waiting for you. He is standing on Golgotha's hill, looking in every direction, waiting for that prodigal child to come home. He has already ran down to meet you when he came down through 42 burning generations from glory and took on the form of man. He took the humiliation for us when he died on the cross, and the party started as his resurrection. He's just waiting for you to come on to receive it. I bless God for you, Pastor Jemine. Thank you for allowing me to have those words. We want to thank each and everyone for listening into us this evening to the 1,217th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. Feel free to follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. Just look up Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us at any of those locations. We invite you to join in with us tomorrow at 9 p.m. as we go back before the Lord with Reverend Aaron Williams and DTW Ministry. Pastor Jemine, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. The ministry is back in your hands to close us out.
Wow. Again, thank you, Pastor Toy, for those words. Thank you for just everything. But as I was saying there, and forgive me if you guys hear a little bit of noise in the background, but we just want, or I just want to make it clear to you that Jesus is for everybody, and he's the answer. And so tonight, maybe you say to yourself, you don't know what church to join, you don't know where to start, maybe with Bible studies or something, but I want to extend to you this invitation. And the invitation is to Christ. Let's put him first and foremost. Christ is first. The invitation is to him. And secondly is to find a Bible-based church to join and to sit in on studies. Now, if you don't know what a Bible-based church is, let me tell you something. You will find out when you go there and you don't see them opening up the word and you're not growing spiritually, then that's not the place for you. You want to be in a place where you can learn and you can grow in the Bible and increase your Bible knowledge. But tonight I want to say just a simple prayer. And that is, Father God, we thank you so much just for everything that you have done. And we just pray that, God, first of all, we just want to thank you for being the Father who's always looking for us, even when we mess up and we go astray. You come running to us. But I just want to pray for each and every individual that's listening on tonight that you will enter into their hearts, God, and that you would live right there in their hearts. I pray that whatever they need you to be or whatever they need from you in their lives, that you will supply it. And I thank you, God, for just being amazing. And I thank you for that person who has decided to give their life to you tonight. Thank you, God. And thank you again for this network. And thank you again for the vision and the leadership of Pastor Toy as well as Brother Robert. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. All right, again, thank you all. Hope you all have a blessed night. Look forward to hearing from you again on our next episode of Life Without Limits.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.